to be yours and not mine. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Pride. It's an idol that many people worship. It's often all about us. We celebrate our independence from rules, authority, and schedules. Surrender to anyone or anything strikes defeat in our minds. We expect to have it our way. We believe that obedience is for pets. Well, except for cats. And children, and obedience is never for ourselves. We want to do anything we want, get anything we desire, and express ourselves in ways that bring us glory. But are we able to act in this manner and truly experience joy? No. Short-term happiness, maybe, but joy, never. Joy stems from being dependent on Christ, having faith in His everlasting in both times of success and times of trial. Joy is never dependent on exterior circumstances, but it's an internal state of mind. Joy comes from discovering what our relationship with Christ is and can be. Joy is discovering what our purpose in life is and how it can be fruitful. Joy is knowing no matter what happens, Jesus does not plan for us to fail, but only for us to experience lessons that we need to learn. Transformation should be a part of our daily walk as we strive to become more and more like Jesus. Today, I am going to step out of my box and teach in an exegetical style. That is, we will start with the text and draw out its meaning line by line. This is usually done with the original biblical languages and a view of historical study. I'm not going to try and wow you. I never had to take ancient Hebrew, Aramaic, or Greek in seminary. The internet assists the person who doesn't have that life skill. I also know that this is a Sunday morning message, not a theology class in the seminary. As any good teacher knows, you always attempt to teach to your audience, and I will humbly attempt to do just that. The text that I utilize is the one that was read, John 15, 1 through 11, the story of the vine and the branches. I'm going to ask you to also step out of your box a little bit. In the pews are pew Bibles. There probably aren't enough for everyone, but if you could share those, I'd like you to turn to the New Testament, page 102. And I'm going to need some congregational participation just so you know. I'm asking you to do this so that if you want to experience that tactile sensation of following along, or if you're a more visual type of learner, this will help. We're going to read line by line together, and then I will follow up with a paragraph or two. So let's read line 1 from chapter 15 together. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. That'll be good for now.
such as in Ephesians 2:19 through 22, where Jesus is referred to as the cornerstone of the building, and in Colossians 1:17 through 18, where he is referred to as the head of the body. Now, the verse 1 that we read also uses the metaphor of God the Father as being the gardener or vineyard keeper. This is the person that tends, waters, protects, and cultivates the vine so that it will produce its maximum yield. Note that Jesus is never portrayed as independent of his Father. They are always cooperating in every activity. John 14:11-14, we read that Jesus says, "I am in my Father, and my Father is in me." Let's read verse 2 together. "Every branch of mine that bears no fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit." Verse 2 refers to pruning. There are two different methods of pruning: cutting off and trimming clean. When a vine has dead wood, it may harbor disease and decay. In Romans 11:17-24, Paul tells the Jews being broken off the tree trunk of the Lord, and warns both Gentiles who have been grafted onto the tree, and Jews that have been cut off the tree, but neither can rest in their culture or heritage for obtaining their salvation. Verse 2 that we read also refers to someone who was never a genuine believer in the first place, such as we see in John 6:66, when Judas and the Jews withdrew after Jesus talked about being the bread of life come down from heaven. In Proverbs 3:11-12, we are reminded that being trimmed clean is much like discipline. Both remove those things in our lives that are getting away and help us to produce fruit that is higher in quality and quantity. Let's read verse 3 together. "You are already made clean by the word which I have spoken to you." Verse 3 refers to the word of God and how it cleanses us. Cleansing removes the dirt of sin, inspires holiness, promotes growth, and conditions us for further service. This verse recalls Jesus' action of foot washing as he modeled to his disciples the concept of servant leadership, forgiveness of sins, and taking the message of salvation to all people. Let's read verse 4 together. "Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in the vine." Verse 4 focuses on remaining or abiding in Christ. We are dependent on the constant flow of life from Christ, who is the source of fruitfulness. We receive not because of our own effort, but because of our position in Christ. The relationship is reciprocal. If, as genuine believers, we remain in him, he promises to remain in us. This is reflected in Psalm Joy may be in you, and then your joy may be full. genuine relationship that will walk us through life's hiccups without slipping into depression and steer us through life's successes without thinking that it's all about us. The joy of abiding in Jesus is that He keeps us level-headed